Hare Krishna. There is a lot in common between all your fields and path of bhakti also. We are all in the field of cardiology also, but spiritual cardiology, because spiritual life is matter of the heart, but not the physical heart. There are the word, you know, objects in this world can be understood at different levels. You are dealing with the physical heart. You do some ECG test and stress test, so many things you do. Yes? How much is the blood flowing into the heart? Veins are blocked, arteries are blocked, or whatever. That is a physical heart. But there is also the emotional heart. So we say sometimes somebody is in pain, we say, my heart goes out to you. We don't mean the physical heart is going out to him. But it is a way of saying, emotionally I am with you. I feel for you, I feel for your pain, etc. That is my heart, that is emotional heart. But even beyond emotional heart is spiritual heart, where we can experience spiritual emotions. The emotional heart can experience material emotions like grief, sorrow, pain, anger, hatred. These are all material emotions that we feel in the world. We cannot do without emotions in life. Something has to be there, but that is at a subtle level. But the spiritual emotions, that is something different altogether. So when we say that the Atma or the soul is in the region of the heart, it is, yes, there is some physical location there, but it is just a matter of location within the body. But the spiritual heart is something different from the physical location or the physical heart. By the way, since you are all doctors, you are all convinced, or you know, that the soul is in the region of the heart in the body? Yes? So you do surgery? No, you are in the medical side. So when they do cardiac surgery, they transplant the heart, no? So the soul is in the heart, so what happens to the heart? The soul also goes with the heart, or what happens? What happens? Okay, the physical heart is transplanted, but the soul remains as it is. Then how do we say that the soul is in the heart? It is in the region of the heart. It is not like, let us say, there is a marble in a box. And you move the box, the marble also moves because the marble is in the box. So when we say that the soul is in the heart, we mean in the region of the heart. It is not dependent on the physical location of the heart. If the heart is transplanted, the soul will still remain there. Of course, if a new heart does not come in and work, then that soul will leave the body eventually. So spiritual emotions is what we call bhakti. Anything to do with this world is not called bhakti. That is not true love at all. True love is only in relation to God, only in relation to Lord Krishna. Nowhere else can this word bhakti be applied. Nowadays, sarcastically, people are every day using the word bhakti. No, for political reasons. Oh, he is just this bhakti, he is like that, he is like this. But actually the word bhakti is very deep. It pertains to spiritual emotions, which cannot be experienced at the material level. it cannot be understood so long as we think that we are this body. Even the material emotions are at a subtle level. The mind is subtle. The gross body is physical. So in bhakti we deal with the development of spiritual emotion. But it is not material emotion to be confused with that. So sometimes people will come and cry in front of the deities. But it may have nothing to do with spiritual emotion. They may just be sad because of something in their life. And they are coming and crying in front of the deity. That will not be spiritual emotion. Spiritual emotion is something that comes out of deep attraction for Lord Krishna. When we love Lord Krishna in such a way that we cannot do anything else, when the heart has no place for anything else but Lord Krishna, that is called pure bhakti. Now we won't go into the technicalities of defining what is bhakti, but that is in essence when the heart, the emotions are full of thoughts of Krishna only, nothing else but that, full attraction for Lord Krishna. In the material world, when there is love, there is absorption of the mind in the object of the love. So if there is a mother and small child, the mother is constantly thinking of the child. So she is absorbed, her mind is fully absorbed in the child. All day long she is thinking about the child. So that is also love, but it is love on the material platform. However, on the spiritual platform, this love just becomes more pure. Love on the material platform will not last. Because when the child grows up, he or she will act independently and you will be unhappy. That is a fact of life in all species of life, also in human species of life. So long as the child is young, very small, it's nice. The moment the child grows up, that mood is lost. So, and sometimes we see things become very bitter. So this is on the material platform, but on the spiritual platform, this sort of love towards Lord Krishna is apratihata. It is unending and ever increasing. And there is no bitterness in this love. So spiritual love is different from material love. Spiritual emotion different from material emotion. Spiritual heart different from material heart. So we are all talking about how to develop that spiritual emotion. This is actually the goal of our life. This is the perfection of our life. This is what we are seeking, but we do not know it. Srila Prabhupada said that we are all, everyone is looking for God, for Krishna. Some know it, some don't know it. That's the only difference. So why can we say that everybody, somebody will say, well, I'm not looking for Krishna. I don't believe in Krishna. I don't even believe in existence of God. So why do you say that I'm looking for Krishna? So the answer is, Prabhupada said, that people do not understand what is the meaning of real happiness. Happiness and love on the spiritual platform are the same thing. There is no difference. So if we develop love for Lord Krishna, that is the real happiness. So everybody in the world is looking for happiness, but they are not finding it. Because you cannot find happiness in the things of this world. You cannot find real love in the people and the objects of this world. Not possible. So when we develop or when we channelize our propensity for love to Lord Krishna, then that propensity finds its fulfillment, it finds its perfection. That is the perfect, so that is what we are in. Our field of bhakti is the development of the spiritual heart. Right now we have no taste for that kind of love. We have taste for other kinds of love that they show in the cinema, in the movie, or that we are familiar with. But there is another whole universe of love, which is the reality of life. And that love is never destroyed. And even in some material relationship, if there is no bitterness, and they don't fight and everything goes on very nicely, at the end of it there will be death. When death comes, everything will go. Everything spoiled, finished. The relationship ends, that love ends. We have all had so many lives in the past. Millions and millions of lives we have lived. We have loved so many people in the past, so many lives. But do we remember them? Last life also we must have had some relationships with our family members, our friends. Where are they now? We don't even know who they are. We don't know who we were. We have forgotten everything. What to speak of previous lives? We have even forgotten what our friends were in when we were very small. Do you remember all your classmates when you were in first standard? Everyone, you remember? You don't. So even our relationships in this life we are forgetting. So what to speak of all the previous lives? But our relationship with Krishna is not like that. That is a perfect relationship. It is perfect in every respect because it can never get destroyed and it will never become bitter and it is ever increasing and it will give us perfect happiness. Who is not looking for happiness in life? Everybody is looking for happiness. But because we are looking in the wrong place, in the wrong types of activities, therefore we get frustrated, we become miserable. So our whole spiritual field is the matter of developing the spiritual heart. And those spiritual emotions are called bhava. So we are also in field of cardiology, but spiritual cardiology. And how are we in the field of spiritual pediatrics? Ranjit? Okay, good point. You see, what is the characteristic of a child? A child is very innocent. A child doesn't understand political behavior. Isn't it? A child will... How many of you have embarrassed your parents when you were very small by saying something in front of them that they felt very embarrassed by? All of us have said something. Similarly, if you have children, I'm sure when they were very small, they must have embarrassed you many times by saying something, especially if you were saying something at home, they heard and they went and told somebody, you said like this. So they have that innocence, they have that purity. And that childlike innocence and simplicity is what is necessary for success in spiritual life. In spiritual life, we cannot be political in nature, in the sense that being we say one thing, but we speak to somebody in one way, we go and somebody else and speak in another way, and we tell bad things about this one to that fellow about that fellow, and we create a complete mess in our society. That is what is going on in the society now, isn't it? How much people are criticizing each other? Everywhere you go, people are simply criticizing each other. Just open the newspaper, or don't open, but in case you do, simply this one said that about the other person, this one is criticizing that fellow, this one is criticizing that fellow. Everyone is spending their time simply criticizing everybody else. And doing politics. Now, I'm not saying that we don't need politics, but that is different. That is statesmanship, running a country, etc. You need administration. That is different. But by politics, I mean this duplicitous behavior, trying to pull down the other person. Children are straightforward. They will fight. But next moment, they are friends with each other. Have you seen that? See, there is a simplicity. They don't take these things seriously. But human beings, if you have some fight with somebody, lifelong, they don't talk to each other. They bear grudges against each other. So spiritual life means to develop that childlike purity. Doesn't mean we have to become childish. That's different. Being childish and being childlike is different. Childish is not what we want to be, but childlike. And that is very important, because without that we cannot repose our minds in Krishna. It is not possible. A complicated mind, which is full of all sorts of diplomatic ideas and desire to pull this one down and harm that person and criticize that person, we cannot have that interest in Krishna. We will not have that enthusiasm. The mind will not permit us. So that childlike innocence is required. That is why, to come to the point that Ranjit has made, why is education given in childhood? Why not when you grow old? Of course, we are constantly learning, that's another thing. Because childhood is the time when you can absorb and learn things very quickly. And where you are like wet clay, you can be molded. You can make any sculpture out of wet clay. But once it hardens, then it's very difficult. So if the right samskaras, the right teachings, the right training, the right impressions are given to the impressionable children, then those samskaras will then make that personality of the child very noble. They will have good habits, good character. I think now we had a lecture on education, Arikeshwar Prabhu. So you must have discussed some of these things. So that is why the childhood is the most important part of our life, because that will form our character, that will form our personality. So therefore we are also into spiritual pediatrics in another sense. And dental and transcendental, that I have already mentioned, right? Transcend the material. Transcend means to go beyond. To go beyond what? To go beyond material things. To go into the realm of spiritual life. That is what our Krishna consciousness is all about. It is not that the physical body doesn't need care. It needs care. It needs attention. We have to feed it, we have to clothe it, we have to protect it. Where the body is diseased, we have to treat it. But ultimately, we have to rise beyond. I was in your Ayurvedic college for last 1 week. I was taking some Ayurvedic therapies. So some of the students who are doing MD, sir, yesterday they were there along with the main doctor, consultant. So I was telling them this one shloka, which is spoken by a great devotee king called Kulashekhar. Have you heard of Kulashekhar? He was a great king from South India, originally from Kerala, but then he settled in Tamil Nadu, in Srirangam. He was a king, but he was a great devotee of Lord Ram and Lord Krishna. So he has composed a very famous book or poem called Mukunda Mala Stotra. Very, very famous amongst devotees. So in that, he has one verse in which he says, Idam Shariram Shatasandhi Jarjaram Patatyavashyam Parinam Peshalam Kim Oshadhim Prichasi Mudhadurmate Niramayam Krishna Rasayanam Piba. So he's saying, Idam Shariram, this body, Shata Sandhi Jarjaram. Sandhi means the joints. No? So Jarjar means it becomes all hard and very painful. In your language you say Vata Vikara, yes? In the Sandhis. So, and there are thousands of joints. This joint, that joint, there's so many thousands of joints all over the body. In anatomy you're teaching all the joints of the body. How many joints are there? Many, many. Countless joints. So many joints. So this is Shatasandhi Jarjaram. So now King Kulashekara is describing the body that all of you have dedicated your life to treat. It is important, no doubt. Parinama Peshalam. Its beauty is very fleeting. How long the beauty will last? In old age, is it possible that we will remain beautiful? Not possible. Sometimes you look at the very beautiful, you know, people in the world, and then look at their pictures when they are 75, 80, 85 years old. Do you see that beauty anywhere remaining? It's gone. So this beauty is fleeting. Patati avashyam. Death or destruction of this body is certain. So he is saying, Kim aushadhim prichasi? Why are you asking for medicine, medicine, medicine? Give me medicine, medicine. I want this medicine, that medicine. Why? Oh, mudha, oh, durmate. Durmate means one whose intelligence is spoiled. Mudha means one who is foolish. Oh, you fool. Oh, one of less intelligence. Why are you so much asking just for medicine, medicine? King Kulashekara is not saying that we should not take medicine. What he's trying to say is, we should not be obsessed with the body. We should not be obsessed with just trying to get medicine, medicine. The whole consciousness is only absorbed in the body. Whole day, whole night, we're only thinking of the body and thinking what to do about how to give the body pleasure. That consciousness is what Kulashekara is talking about. He is not against taking medicines when it comes to certain illnesses and you are treating your body, keeping it healthy. So he says, why are you asking? Kim prichasi mudha durmate, aushadhim prichasi mudha durmate. Niramayam Krishna rasayanam piba. You drink that rasayana. In your Ayurveda Shastra you learned about rasayana. What is a rasayana? Improves longevity. It is meant for giving us strength, rejuvenation. Improves the longevity. That is called a rasayana. So he says, Krishna rasayanam piba. Piba means you drink. So you drink this rasayana called Krishna. What are the famous rasayanas in Ayurveda? Agastya Rasayanam, Acharya Rasayanam, okay. Achara Rasayanam. Achar means behavior, lifestyle. So the best way of increasing longevity of life is to have proper achar. Achar means not pickle. Achar means behavior, conduct, acharana. Acharati, one, you know, iti acharya. So, the conduct is the best rasayana. But what is this achara rasayanam? There are so many other Ayurvedic rasayanams like Agastya rasayanam, etc. So the best rasayanam of all, King Kulashekara says, is Krishna rasayanam. So you drink that rasayanam. How? By chanting his names, by hearing his pastimes, hearing his messages, seeing his form. So Krishna can come to us in many ways, through his name, through his deity, through his pastimes, through his instructions and messages, through his scriptures, through his form. Many, many ways Krishna becomes available to us. And all of these are like rasayana. They are like nectar, which give us actually not just longevity, but eternal life. Amritatva, immortality, which we are all seeking, because nobody wants to die, no? None of us want to die. We want to live forever. But we don't know the secret of it. Modern science is trying to find a secret. Many years ago, I saw this famous magazine called Time. Time magazine, American magazine. And the cover story of that showed somebody, one person, who was surrounded by so many types of capsules and all that. And I forget the exact title, what was there, but the topic was conquering death. So there, his idea was, he is starting a whole discipline which is interdisciplinary. So it will need health specialists, doctors, you know, many, many other specialists. And his theory is that death is a disease. Because what is death? Death is when the cells, they degenerate, they die, and new cells are born, but the new cells are not being born in sufficient number. Eventually the cells become weak, they're not able to function. So what do you have to do to conquer death? Keep the cells alive. Somehow nourish the cells in the body. So in very scientific way they calculated what is needed. So every day he takes 200, he used to take 200 capsules or tablets or something. Or 200, 2000, I forget, something, very large number. And he says, I am 60 years old, but I have the health of a 40-year-old. Maybe he has done all this, but still he will die. Do you agree with me? Still he will die. So this is a dream that people have had for many years. We will become immortal. The desire for immortality is there on the stones also, and when you go by train on the road, you see people have written their names. That is their attempt at immortality. Our name will be on the rocks forever. Because when something is etched in a rock, then you can't erase it easily, no? But real immortality will not come like that. Real immortality will come by taking Krishna Rasayana. And that will bring real happiness. So Krishna Rasayanam Piba, that is King Kulashekhar's prescription for all of us as the spiritual doctor. Maybe tomorrow evening we'll talk more about that. Actually today I came wanting to talk on some other subject, but then nevertheless this is fine. So that is how we have to lead our life to attain what is truly beneficial for us. What is truly beneficial for the whole world. It's a very simple thing. You don't need to go to Himalayas, and you don't need to become sannyasi, you don't need to perform a lot of tapasya, you don't need to be a very big scholarly person of the Vedas and all that. Just come in the association of devotees and hear and chant about Krishna, that's all. And follow a certain lifestyle, achara rasayanam. But that achara is sadachara rasayanam. Sat means truth. Truth means eternal. That acharana, that achara, that behavior, which will help us to become eternal. Actually, that is the meaning of sadachar. Generally, the word sat also means good. So by sadachar, we also mean good behavior. So in a worldly sense, sadachar is also very important. We must have good manners, we must behave properly, follow good conduct. These things are very important in our life. But from a spiritual point of view, the word sadachar means that achar that will help us to attain immortality. That rasayana which will give us ultimate longevity of life, that is what Krishna rasayana is. There was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name was Murari Gupta. And he was a physician. He was a vaidya. He was an incarnation of Hanuman. And you know, Hanuman also was a very learned person. He was very scholarly in all the Vedic sciences. In the olden days, knowledge was not compartmentalized so strictly like it is today. Nowadays everything is compartmentalized. You will study, you will be a doctor, somebody will be engineer, somebody will be lawyer, somebody will be astrologer, somebody will be this and that. There people were expected to know, the learned people were expected to know everything. Even in medicine now you have so many specializations, you don't know the other person's specialization. Yes? Now cardiology, if you may not know something about pediatrics. Yes, if someone asks something, it may be difficult. Vice versa also, you may not know. Any eye surgeons here? No. Even eye surgeons, you may know something, everything about the eye. You will do certain basic things. But somebody specializes in retina, somebody specializes in cornea, somebody in something else. And if you ask him about the other thing, you may not know. So much specialization, super specialization is going on. Okay, we take advantage of this knowledge so long as it is there with us. All right, fine. But at the end of the day, there is no limit to it. You can go on going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into all this. At the end of it, we still have to die. We still have to grow old. You will still get disease. You still have to be born again. So by just expanding our knowledge, we are simply expanding our bewilderment. So fine, so long as we are on the material platform, we have to live, we have to treat ourselves, it's okay. But we should not forget this Krishna rasayana. That is the crux of the matter. So today's lesson, today's summary of today's session is Krishna Rasayanam Piba. Drink the Rasayana of Krishna consciousness. Is it a good proposal? Hare Krishna. So you have all come, many of you have come from long distances, no? From Assam, from where else? From Rajasthan. Now you are in Punjab or Rajasthan? Now, Ankur? Delhi. Oh, Delhi, okay. Still far enough. And Bangalore, of course, Tamil Nadu, but you are staying here now. You have come from Hyderabad or Bangalore? Hyderabad, Bangalore. Okay, so Gokak is of course nearby, but still. So you're all doctors, it's very important that you should become like Murari Gupta. So Murari Gupta, the speciality was, it is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that he was a doctor for the body and doctor for the soul also. Deharoga, Bhavaroga. He could cure both. Deharoga is the disease of the body. Bhavaroga is the disease of the material world. Maybe I'll talk more about Bhavaroga tomorrow evening. Bhavaroga is the disease of this world, the fact that we have this material body, which is the cause of our suffering. So all doctors, you are in an excellent position to treat both. Deharoga and Bhavaroga. But so you must become, you have already become doctors of Deharoga, but you should also become doctors for Bhavaroga, so you can guide your patients in that direction. And not just your patients who come to you for Deharoga Nivaranam, for treating of their material disease, bodily disease, but you should also treat those who are not coming to you for any medical complaints. You can give Krishna Rasayanam to everybody. That is the ultimate welfare work. That is the way you can make people really happy. And that will give you the greatest satisfaction. And if you combine these two activities, that is so perfect. And that is what our Sparsh Prabhu is doing. He has started the village project for medical care. And that we will discuss more tomorrow, probably. Yes, tomorrow at some point in the evening, we'll talk about it. Hare Krishna. So what is the takeaway for today? Krishna Rasayanam Piba. Piba means drink. Any questions? There are, you know, the same rasayana can be given little differently depending on the condition of the patient, right? Same medicine, suppose you're giving a medicine, sometimes you may give in higher dose, sometimes lower dose, sometimes you may say you take it with milk or you take it with water or you just take it like this or like that, right? So the administration of the medicine may be slightly different according to the condition of the patient or the presentation of the disease. According to that, you have to. But the medicine is the same. Similarly, Krishna Rasayanam is same for everyone. But depending on the situation, the Krishna Rasayanam may be given little differently to everyone. So we have to chant, one of the ways in which Krishna Rasayanam is taken is to chant his names, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But some new person comes and you suddenly tell you chant for 2 hours every day Krishna Nam, you say, oh, what is this? So he will not take the medicine. So you have to bring that person up to the level of understanding and conviction that he or she will feel, okay, I must do this chanting. That level of knowledge and understanding must be there. That level of willingness and faith must develop. Many times the doctor sees the willingness of the patient. When the patient says, no, 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 I cannot take this, all this medicine, this much. Okay, you at least do this much. Okay, I can't eat this, I can't stop eating that. Okay, you do like this, but you eat this along with that. So the doctor has to make adjustment. So according to the situation, then the person will say, okay, you chant one mala every day. You start with 2 rounds every day. But Krishna Rasayana in terms of chanting the names of Krishna is there. Similarly, reading the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, understanding it, that is very important. Hearing discourses or lectures on Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, very important in the process of spiritual education, because Krishna Rasayanam primarily comes through the ears. Other senses are extensions, not subsidiary but ancillary units. Eyes are important, tongue is important, everything is important, but most important of all is ears. Because we can hear through the ears. So this rasayanam is principally taken through the ears, instilled through the ears. That Krishna rasayanam. But there are times it is also taken through the mouth. then you chant the name, or you take Krishna Prasadam, you offer your food to Lord Krishna, that becomes Prasadam, then you take that. So you are tasting that Krishna Rasayanam actually with your tongue. But you will not be able to do this on a regular basis unless you have heard and understood the importance of offering food to Lord Krishna. So principally, the method of administration is through the ears. And then all these other different types of Krishna Rasayanam will manifest. So chanting, hearing, reading, worshipping, taking darshan of the beautiful deities of Lord Krishna, doing various other types of services, all that will come under the category of Krishna Rasayanam Piba. Right? Any other questions? Yes. Even Ravan must have looked very cute when he was a baby, no? When Ravan was a baby, everybody must have come in and like this, they must have done to him. Isn't it? Even Hiranyakashipu, when he was born, everybody will come and do like this. Hitler must have been like that also. That is why there are four great saints called Chatushkumar, the four Kumaras. That is why they prefer to remain as young boys of 5 years of age. They are actually the most senior sons of Brahma. They are very, very old. They are the oldest amongst the residents of the universe next to Brahma. But they have taken on permanently the forms of 5-year-old boys, because along with the physical body, they want to retain the mindset of that 5-year-old boy also, which is with that innocence, that purity. Because they know when we grow up, we will become corrupted. So the nature of this material world is that growing up in this world makes you corrupted. Everybody, not just one person, everybody it happens. So in this way, it is nature's way that eventually things become, from childhood what was there, it doesn't remain. So most parents will only remember their children when they were very small. Now what he has become, what she has become. It's the way of this world. Then they will back answer you, they will say something, they want something, you will do something else. That happens or no? Many of you are parents, isn't it? So that is why that stage of childhood. Of course, in childhood also, sometimes there can be some very cruel behavior and all that. Sometimes children can also act in a very cruel way, but by and large, it is an age of innocence. There was one king called Vena. Even when he was a child, he was evil. He used to catch his, even before 5 years old, he would get his friends and throw them in the river and drown them. So there are some children who are evil like that from beginning. But there are some who, mostly by and large, it's an age of innocence. It is in that sense that we talked about the childlike innocence and simplicity. Not possible in this world when you deal with the world. When you deal with the world, you have to protect yourself so you don't get exploited. But internally, we have to cultivate that simplicity when it comes to Krishna. Right? Any other questions? What is the time? Seven. their unintentional cheating. Stent in the heart. Yes. Yes, you mentioning the other day. Yes. See, many times what happens is the prescriptions are fear driven, not patient's fear, doctor's fear. You know, everybody wants to play safe in this world. So the doctor is also worried, I'll give some medicine, something happens, or if I don't give this medicine, something happens, I'll get the blame. And nowadays, all these medical legal problems, and they take you to court, and consumer, what is it, some protection, and all of these things are there. So naturally, doctors are becoming more and more afraid to take steps. So they play safe. So they will first of all ask you to get diagnostics done. X-ray, CT scan, this thing, that thing, everything, so that tomorrow, if anything happens, they can say, look, I'd followed the protocol, and this is what I have done. I've done this. So that is the unfortunate system of the modern world, where we have become extraordinarily defensive in this way. And whilst we are being aggressive, defensive in this way, we are being aggressive when it comes to treatments. By giving unindicated things, you know, take CT scan. CT scan means hundreds of radiation of hundreds of X-rays at one time. So it's very aggressive in one sense. Partly it is because, so even the textbooks and the whole system has developed with a defensive mentality, fear mentality. We have to protect ourselves, and also they're playing safe for the patient because we don't know. So for the patient's sake, better to have a factor of safety. Just put some extra investigation, just to be sure. So sometimes they're doing it out of abundant caution. So that is one aspect of it. The second aspect of it is also because the modern world has become very complicated now. So because of that, everybody is becoming very fearful, and people have become materialistic. So there is greed also. They want to make money in the wrong way, even if it means exploiting the patients by doing unindicated diagnostics, unindicated surgeries, unindicated medicines, and then getting commissions and cuts from here and there. All this, you know better than me, all that is going on. So that is the second reason for all this. And at the same time, I think we are losing our clinical skills also. We are losing the, shall we say, that depth of understanding and the fineness of intellect to be able to clinically examine patients properly and depend on that. We don't have faith in we don't have that knowledge and experience, and we don't have the faith in our own ability to our clinical abilities. So we want confirmation. I have done this, and we want this confirmed this way, that way. Sometimes it is necessary, because the nature of disease is such that you need that confirmation. So if it is really indicated, go ahead and do it. But because we ourselves may not be confident about it, so to play safe, we will, just for our sake, not that we want to even for the sake of the patient, that we want to know, for doing good for the patient, we just want to be sure. Like that. So fear for oneself, fear for the patient, and also the whole system becoming very complicated, the modern age becoming very materialistic, etc., etc. So, regardless of whether the textbooks are saying put a stent or not, but if the doctor is convinced that it is unindicated, then there is no need to do that. But the doctor must have that much courage then to do it, and conviction. And the doctor must be sure that this is like this. But unfortunately, systems today, because that patient go to another doctor, get second opinion, and that doctor, oh, you have not put stent, you have to put stent. They will frighten the patient like anything. And then that patient will think, oh, that doctor was bad, he didn't recommend this at all. And all of you know that the mentality of patients today is, unless the patient comes away from your clinic with a long list of medicines, he will think you are not a good doctor. Correct? If you say, don't worry, just take salt water gargling, you will be okay. Are you, what kind of doctor is he? Right? So he gives some nice number, some mycin, streptomycin, this mycin, all about sins or anything. No? So they also engage in sin, they get them also in sin. And then the patient, oh, this is so many medicines. And they will write, doctor's handwriting is famous, so they will write in such a way that patient cannot understand for the life of him what he has written here. So as far as possible, I would say, if the doctor is really convinced, and it happens many times, when the doctor does take a stand like that, and say, actually there's nothing wrong with you, it's okay. Sometimes the patient needs to be just encouraged and given confidence. Patients also get afraid and they come, oh, this has happened, and then the doctor will just try to, you know, immediately say, oh, you have only 1 month left, everything, well, 1 month left. So, in Ayurveda it is said, it is up to the Vaidya to whether to tell or not to tell, isn't it? How much to tell? But in Western world, in America, England, the doctor has to tell everything to the patient. Otherwise he can be sued tomorrow that you did not inform the patient this was the problem, that was the problem. If the doctor is saying this is the diagnosis and this is the prognosis for the thing, if you don't tell it to the patient, then you are liable in a court of law. You can be sued for millions of dollars. Unfortunately, the state of the medical system has become like this. But traditionally, the Vaidya would have to see what is good for the patient and help in recovery. So sometimes it was necessary to hide the fact from the patient, sometimes it was necessary to tell the fact, sometimes necessary to partially tell the fact. That wisdom has to be with the doctor. But now, because of envy amongst doctors, one doctor will spoil another doctor's name because he or she wants to establish his thing. You know, so many things are going on. It is basically materialistic mentality. That is really the root cause of the problems. And now doctors don't want to develop their clinical skills so much. They are just concerned about how to do their post-graduation, how to get that thing, and only specialize in their little thing. And for that they have so much technology. Because it is so technology dependent, therefore it is very expensive. Because the equipment will keep, technology will keep on getting obsolete. So you have to replace it again every now and then. And that calls for crores and crores of rupees. So then you have to recover that investment. From where will you recover? Patient. So then you will have all unindicated surgeries, unindicated this, commissions from here, that, targets. you have to do so many surgeries every day. Forcefully, just you do. You have to do, your target is this much. So even if somebody doesn't need, you say do it. Happens or not? It is happening. So it is because of the materialistic mentality that is the root of everything. All these problems have come because of this one factor. We have become too materialistic. We have lost our spiritual values. We have lost sight of the spiritual purpose of life. So we just think money, 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 just somehow or the other have to make money. That is all. So all these are symptoms of this basic root problem. And then materialism has come because we have forgotten Krishna. Right? So to conclude, I would say that if the doctor is convinced, then he or she should stand firm. Unless the doctor is really going to get into trouble for not following the protocol. If there is going to be professional censure, or you know, the medical body will somehow say, you have not followed the protocol, we will censure you, this, that. I don't know what happens in the medical bodies, but the doctor also has to protect himself or herself. Ultimately, we are living in such a world. But in most cases, it will not be like that. 90% unindicated stents, that is a very large percentage. Very large percentage. So 10% only it is indicated. So of the remaining 90%, maybe another 10-20% is doubtful borderline cases. Okay, fine, borderline cases you let go because you are also not sure. Okay, be safe. What about the remaining 60-70%? Why should you go ask, tell them to get a stent for this? Just because you have to make money. And now especially the corporate hospitals, it has become very much like this. And most doctors who have some conscience, that they want to leave this corporate setup because it is so suffocating. It has just become like any other sales targets for a salesman. No. You have to sell this much product every day, so you have to do so many surgeries every day. So they become businessmen. They become not just businessmen. It's not wrong to do business, but you should not do business by cheating or by exploiting. Right? Legitimate business is fine. You make your profit, live a comfortable life, but don't exploit the weaknesses of others. The patient is weak because he or she doesn't understand all this. What is this medical terminology, health, this? He doesn't understand any. He may be a very big person, or he may be very wealthy, he may be very intelligent or qualified in other areas of life. But in medical terms, he is still a layman. So you take advantage of his lack of knowledge and you exploit and extract money out of that person. That is not proper. And that is partly because of the technology being so expensive, and also because of the greed. Ayurveda also has become very expensive now. It is not so cheap, but at least not like allopathy. Because Ayurveda is not so technology driven. It is, nowadays they do, because an infrastructure is there, you have to pay salaries, you have to pay, you know, so it is not so cheap like before. You see, the Vaidyas earlier were like sages. They were actually sages. And there were Kavirajas also who treated the kings and all that, they also were there. But many times, you see, they used to treat as a service to the humanity. That was their mood. So chikitsa, shiksha, nyaya, these were almost free in the Vedic times, traditionally. Education was free, justice was free. You walk into the king's darbar and demand justice, and the king is not going to ask you, pay me this much. This is duty. Similarly, chikitsa, medical treatment was very inexpensive. These herbs and so many things, the vaidya would grow, they would make, crush on the spot, give. They would know achara rasayanam, they had that. So they could, life was much simpler. But now that is not the case. Correct? I know of so many doctors who have got fed up of the corporate hospital culture. Am I right? You must be seeing. So much corruption, so much of materialistic mentality, so much exploitation, so much envy, trying to pull each other down, so much of all these negative things going on. There or no, correct? It is happening? So somehow, if it's a question of livelihood, what to do? Okay. But there can be other ways you can earn your livelihood with the skills and degrees that you have. You can do things without exploiting, without causing pain to others. And then give Krishna consciousness to Krishna Risayanam. Holistic health care. Give them an atmosphere where they will feel spiritually very healthy and enlivened also. Because patients have a lot of faith in doctors. Vaidyo Narayana Harihi, you have heard this? There is a proverb in Sanskrit, Vaidyo Narayana Harihi. You know the meaning of this? Can anyone say? Can anyone say this meaning? The Vaidya is as good as Lord Narayana. That is the preferred explanation that most people will give. Literally, it is that. But there's another meaning. The actual explanation is that Narayana or Hari is the actual Vaidya. Yes? And the Vaidya is actually the representative of Narayana or Hari, the instrument, Nimitta, to heal the patient. In Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says, Aushadhoham, I am the healing padasha, I am the healing power of the herb, of the aushadhi. So every aushadha or medicine, whether allopathic, ayurvedic, whatever, it has some healing potency. That potency, Krishna says, is me. I am that healing potency. So therefore, we may have the best doctor, best medicine, but if Krishna's will is not there, then the patient cannot get cured. So the real meaning of Vaidya Narayana Harihi is that Lord Narayana or Lord Hari is the actual Vaidya. But most people will say that the Vaidya is Narayana or Hari, and the doctor is God. So many patients will go to the doctor, aap bhagwan hai, aap humare liye bhagwan hai, because they are so grateful, they have got cured, they were very afraid. So the doctor should understand what this means. So grammatically it is not wrong to say this, but in what sense does it mean? It means that as a representative of Lord Narayana and Hari. So healing can be seen as a divine act if one is in that consciousness. But if one is in materialistic consciousness, then it will not, that will not hold. Hare Krishna. So how was your day? What did you do today all day? What did you all discuss at 10:30? On? Acha, matita madgata. Okay. Very nice. On what? Acha. Okay. Very nice. Okay, good. Then? On education, Gurukula. In general about education. Very nice. Harikeshwar Prabhu is heading up our Gurukula project. We have just started. Very recently, only a few days ago. Presently we are doing the classes here. Very shortly we will move. And then eventually after 1 or 2 years, we have our land, we will go there. And we will have, along with Sparsh's medical project, Gurukul, Goshala will all be combined. So we can tell you more about that tomorrow. Good. Then after that, this lecture. All of you are comfortable wherever you are staying here. Sundarachal, Simhachalam, all accommodated. Prasadam, everything okay? Yes? And now, prasadam and break. And tomorrow's program? No, parikrama will not, it will not work out. But just to show, it depends on the condition of the road. In the temple hall. Okay. Fine. So I'm very happy all of you have come. Many of you from very long distances. And we'll meet together again tomorrow and day after. Okay. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Are you hungry now? Yes. How do you get images that now? Very difficult. Very difficult. Once it's gone, it's gone. Very difficult to do it. Crookedness comes very easily to the material, in the material world. Because we are surrounded by that atmosphere. But as far as possible, we do our Krishna consciousness well and hope to overcome that, and consciously also we can try to practice in our daily behavior. we are always wishing well for others. That is one very important practical attitudinal tool that we can have. Always wish well. Even if somebody hurts you, somebody, you know, speaks harshly to you, does anything, don't wish ill for them. Always wish well. That will help us to keep that positive mindset. We all will experience in life that people are doing things that we don't like, that are against our interests, or they hurt us in so many ways. You have a right to protect yourself, to protect your interest, but at the same time, don't bear ill will. Let's try to practice that. So similarly, when we see ourselves acting in a kind of a crooked way, diplomatic way, if it is not well-intentioned, if it is not well thought out, then we must try to consciously change that. Sometimes you may have to be diplomatic. When you're dealing with a small child, you do sometimes some diplomacy, no? You do or not? You say, oh, no, I'll give you this, then you do this, okay. Then. But it is well-intentioned. It is not meant for a bad purpose. So we can practice in our daily life these things. Opportunities will come. I said the root of ultimately is no Krishna Rasayanam Piba, no Visha Rasayanam Piba is the. So because of that materialistic mentality, everything comes. So Charak said same thing, is it? You could trust the person. Yes, that is because of the materialistic mentality. Materialistic mentality makes you lose your trust in others. You can't trust anybody. One person told me, I don't even trust myself. But you can't do without trust in life. You have to trust. Sometimes you may have bad experience, but don't stop trusting. Don't foolishly trust, but sometimes you have to trust. One time many years ago, I was traveling by train, and there was some army officer, who was sleeping in the seat in front of me. So we were getting ready to sleep. So we were chatting and all that. And then he said, my station is coming at 2:00 in the night. So I don't know how I will wake up. So he saw me putting my alarm clock. In the middle of the two seats, there is that little platform. So I put my alarm clock there and I was getting ready, putting everything neatly, going to sleep. So then I understood that, I said, take the alarm clock, you set it, for him 2:00. I said, you keep it, you wake up at 2:00. See, then okay, then I'll wake you up before I leave. So I said, don't wake me up because why to spoil my sleep? You just keep the clock here and go. So what if I take it and go? We were talking light mood. Take it, go. The world operates on trust. If you lose trust, what will happen to this world? So sometimes your trust may be misplaced. It may happen. But that should not make you not trust others. You have to be careful nowadays, not be foolish, as I said. just blindly go and trust everybody. That is not the case. It must be based on some knowledge and understanding. But the general idea that we have to trust people, that the world will collapse if we don't have trust. In everything we have some trust. You get into an aeroplane, you have trust that the pilot knows what he is flying, the company, you have trust in the company, you have trust, so many things. We have to trust. And sometimes our trust will be betrayed. Okay, take it. But don't be foolish. Don't be foolishly trusting others. You have to know when to be cautious and when not to trust, and when to certainly not trust. There are times when you 100% should not trust. That also you should know, when to not trust. Right? But in general, like in this case, okay, what can be done? Of course, he's saying it, but he doesn't want to, he's just talking. But the principle is, you have to trust in this world. Otherwise, how the world will go on? Like our Sparsh's system is Dakshina system for his clinic. You have to trust. You will give, not give, not give. But income is coming. Happens. Okay. So now you must be all hungry. And I have always one principle in life, that hungry person is angry person. So I don't want you all angry. So now you take prasadam. And I will see all of you tomorrow morning in Gokuldham. Okay? Let us see how it goes with the rain. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So sleep well tonight, eat nicely. Okay? Hare Krishna.